Well, since today's first reading is the saddest day for all of Israel, practically speaking, it's the day that Israel goes into exile. And this takes place in around between 589 to 586 BC. There are several exiles, but this is the primary exile that happens during the reign of King Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim is, as the second reading says, the first reading says, he's an evil guy. I mean, he basically does not follow the prescripts of the law. And what we have, you know, in the book of Kings is this, up and down, this good king, bad king, judgment, exile, good king, bad king, judgment, exile. So you have this sort of pattern that's taking place, that's kind of regulating the whole history of Israel, which is going to become incredibly formative for what's called Second Temple Judaism, the building of the Second Temple, right? It's kind of the underlying, foundation that will happen when Israel gets restored by King Cyrus, right, in 532 BC. So what we're going to see then is this momentous event that Persia is going to conquer Babylon. But what we see is a cycle. And like I said, the Second Temple and Second Temple Judaism's doctrines are going to be built on this. And Jesus is going to build on the doctrine, the foundation bed of Second Temple Judaism. So what, of course, we see is, the first thing is we've got, in the first book of Kings, Solomon, this is the beginning of the first book of Kings, and he's the great king, and he's the wise king, and he builds the first temple, and Israel is prosperous, and Solomon keeps to his ways, but then Solomon has a lapse, right? And of course, Solomon kind of gets seduced away by all these other things, and, even some of the temple worship of Baal, and God goes, okay, judgment time. You're going to go down. And of course, what happens is the Assyrians invade the northern kingdom, end of the book of Kings. Boy, that, is bad news. And all these people are fleeing south to Judah, the southern kingdom, from the Assyrian invasion. But the Assyrians are kind of pushing on the southern kingdom too, trying to turn it into a vassal state. But of course, what happens? What happens is a just king comes into Israel, right? Shebna is, given the old oracle, and of course Hezekiah takes his place, and Hezekiah is a just king, and so of course God relents from punishment because Israel from punishment because of Hezekiah, but then comes Manasseh. And Manasseh strays from the reforms of Hezekiah. So Hezekiah, great reform throughout Israel. And of course, Manasseh comes, the son, right? And he's a no-good-nick sort of in the way of the way the Old Testament authors looking at him. And of course, God's pronouncing a judgment against Manasseh. And he says, I'm telling you, the southern kingdom's going to fall too. And it's going to be worse than the fall of the first kingdom. But then a just man arises, Josiah. And Josiah finds the scrolls of Deuteronomy in the temple and makes this great reform. But it's too late. God has pronounced this judgment on Israel. And even though there's the just Josiah, his son Jehoiakim is again, as the reading says, an evil man. He just goes right back and kind of betrays the intentions of his father, which leads to the saddest day in Israel's history. And of course, it is the exile. The Babylonians come, they conquer, and when they conquer, they not only take over in Israel, they destroy Solomon's temple in the south in Jerusalem, and then they take all of these people captive. I mean, literally into exile. They're all going into a foreign territory. You can't imagine what this means, the loss of the promised land to the Israelites. I mean, it's incomprehensible. But what it does is it causes a period of reflection. And that period of reflection, that 50 years in exile, right, from basically about 586 to 536 BC, Dad, 50 years of exile before the miraculous event that we'll be hearing about later this week of Cyrus, king of Persia, coming and conquering the Babylonians and not only restoring Israel to its homeland, helping them to rebuild the temple, unheard of. And Darius finishes it up with real dough, with real money. And of course, you look at it and you go, wow, God's good. But all that reflection time is going to produce what we now know of as you know, so many of the historical books of the Old Testament, this bedrock reflection, which will become, you know, the foundation stone for Second Temple Judaism, these historical books of the New Testament, and of course, for all the subsequent prophetic literature that's going to arise out of it, right? From Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, right? So this good, you know, bedrock will happen from the suffering. And when, of course, all of this prophetic literature is combined with all the reflection that's been done during the exile, Cyrus comes and restores faith and hope, right? This is going to be the bedrock upon which the second temple is going to be built and upon which Jesus is going to now give the complete fulfillment of doctrine. The saddest day is kind of the greatest day in an odd way, right? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Probably the Jews looked at the opposite. It was the worst of times, but it turned out to be the best of times. And of course, in the light of God's providence, that's the way it works and continues to work, even for the church today, in the fullness of the light of Jesus's revelation. We need not worry. Because, of course, even if all these things happen, God will bring us out of it and bring good out of the suffering, unimaginable good that's going to lead to the salvation of the world. Amen.